If you're just joining us, a comment period is now open on the Ned's Bar Forest Management Project in the Upper Applegate and Little Applegate watersheds. A timber sale is part of the project, and it's a rare timber sale on federal land that does not draw at least some opposition. There is indeed that. The community, as you've heard, has provided one of the alternatives that is listed in the environmental assessment for the Ned's Bar project. It is coming from the Applegate Neighborhood Network and the Community Alternative Working Group. Luke Rudiger is attached to both of those groups and our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Luke, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jeffrey.
So tell us about the level of analysis. It sounds like you guys have done a lot of work out there, measuring things, figuring out what the proper procedures should be on that land from your perspective. Tell us about the amount of work.
Yeah, the community has been heavily involved in this planning process. When the timber sale first came out, there was a lot of concern about the location of the units in some of our more intact fire-resilient forest stands and in some of our unroaded areas that people value for recreation and ecological values. And so we decided that what we really needed to do was go out and take a look at the units and then develop our own community alternative based on that monitoring and that analysis. And so we went out and we actually visited every single unit in the Ned's Bar timber sale. There's over 70 of them. And then went about either embracing units that seem to make sense to us in terms of thinning them would reduce fire hazards and increase forest health and resilience. And we also decided upon units that we could not embrace because of our concerns about forest health and the impacts potentially to fire and fire risks in our watershed. And then we actually created our own prescriptions for each individual unit that we did embrace. So we created a pretty extensive document that we submitted to the BLM that is now being analyzed as Alternative 5, known as the Community Alternative.
So within any of the units that you did embrace, did you in any case take BLM's prescription as it was?
By and large, one of the things that we're really concerned about is the level of canopy reduction that the BLM is proposing. So for the most part, our units or the way that we designed our units retains more canopy cover on site. And we feel that that's really important because we believe that and based on our monitoring of past timber sales in the Applegate watershed for the past 20, 25 years, that the loss of canopy cover associated with these commercial thinning sales is increasing sun and wind exposure into these stands. It's drying them out. It's extending the length of our fire seasons. And it's also creating what we call shrub response, which is basically ingrowth in that, you know, as we open up those stands and the light comes into the forest floor and as we disturb the soils through yarding, that triggers a heavy regeneration of shrubs and young trees that then become ladder fuel and excessive understory fuels that actually increase fire hazards in these stands over time.
Which way do the slopes face? Because that can make a big difference in a Southern Oregon forest, can't it?
Yes. In the Ned's Bar alternatives put forward by the BLM and the community alternative, it's a variety of different exposures in terms of the direction that the face is the slope is facing. One of the things we're really concerned about is that that exposure really dictates the density of stands and the kinds of vegetation that grow there. And the BLM's targeted a lot of north-facing slopes that tend to be more dense forests for canopy cover removal down to 40% canopy cover, which is about half of the existing canopy in a lot of those stands.
But if they are north-facing, they're going to get a little more shade and therefore might stand a greater chance of regeneration, wouldn't they?
You potentially could get some increased growth in some of these stands, but our contention is that increased growth in the residual trees is going to be matched by increased growth in the understory. The trade-offs there, in our opinion, don't really balance out. And that's based on, like I said, about 20 years of monitoring of BLM timber sales in the Applegate drainage.
I haven't talked to numbers yet. What kind of board footage are we talking about between the BLM alternatives and what you're proposing with the community alternative?
I can't quote the numbers specifically, but I believe the BLM's alternative proposes about six times the amount of timber volume that the community alternative does.
The community alternative is created by the Community Alternative Working Group, of which Luke Rudiger is a member. We're talking about the Ned's Bar forest management plan for the Little Applegate Valley within the BLM's Medford District in the Ashland Resource Area. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Barry and Williams, you're on the air. Welcome to the exchange.
Thanks very much for airing this. I'm really disturbed by the BLM's attitude toward going into a forest that is probably well over 500 years old and having the audacity to think that they're going to improve it. I mean, first of all, they're going to open up the canopy, and taxpayers are tired of paying for expensive fire suppression, and this, that's exactly what they're planning to do, opening up that canopy and create a more fire-prone area. And this is an old-growth forest. How much old-growth forest does the BLM have in their plans to let forests get to that point of being defined as old-growth forest? I don't think there's any, as far as I'm concerned, I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, and this is a fairly remote area. It has a very high quality forest for you know, the animal population and different species of plants, and disturbing it like that is to me is not a credible thing to be doing.
All right, thanks for the thoughts, Barry. Appreciate that. So Luke, I mean, we haven't used the term old growth yet. Is that what we're talking about here? Is it true old growth, or is this second growth that's been logged once and grown back?
There are quite a number of units in the Ned's Bar timber sale that are uncut, have never been logged, and are located in roadless areas that have that the community highly values for recreational purposes and for ecology. One of the things that people are really concerned about is that alternative 4 proposed by the BOM includes 1,086 acres of commercial harvest in unroaded areas. So that's about 72% of their total harvest area that they're proposing. The majority of this timber sale is in uncut stands. The stand in particular that Barry from Williams was talking about, we went on a field trip last week to some units up on Bald Mountain, which is an unroaded section in between Wagner Butte and Anderson Butte there. And we looked at a stand that definitely supports old growth characteristics, has a lot of large old growth trees. And the BOM's claiming in their environmental assessment that one of the things that they're only going to be logging about 501 trees over 20 inches in diameter. But according to the timber tally that they created when marking the units, in the 15 units that they marked for removal, they marked the trees to take. And so they actually have an accurate depiction of the number of large trees being removed in those units. We visited two of those units last week. And in those units, according to their timber tally, there was 569 trees over 20 inches in diameter marked. So that's more than the number that they're claiming is going to be logged in the entire timber sale. And I would note that when you look at the timber tally, in these 15 units that they marked for take, and that's 19% of the project area, there is 1,295 trees over 20 inches in diameter marked. And that's, again, 20% of the project area and does not include a whole host of units that also include large tree removal.
Of the complaints that you have with the Community Alternative Working Group, how many could be directly dealt with if the BLM agreed to the size limit, that no trees would be taken over 20 inches in diameter?
I think that would be a major step forward. That's something the BOM has been very resistant to for quite a number of years. But there's a lot of public support for maintaining old trees on the landscape. And maintaining those old trees will increase the amount of canopy cover remaining after logging treatments in a lot of situations. And it will also, we believe, increase the resilience of those stands by retaining those trees, or at least maintain the resilience of those stands. Because what we say is that a lot of these stands are naturally fire resilient. They're areas that, although they may have not burned recently, they have all the characteristics associated with fire resilient forests. So they have large trees, high canopies, thick barks, and relatively wide spacing, while at the same time having a closed canopy condition that tends to suppress understory growth and that fuel that develops in the understory and can cause problems when fires do burn.
Something Barry and Williams said on his call about he thought this would become more fire prone. Is that what you're saying too? That if you take out some of the big older tree, I mean that any of the prescriptions here, if used as the BLM, if they stick with their own alternatives, do you see this area becoming more fire prone rather than less?
Absolutely. One of the things, as I said, that we're really concerned about is this loss of canopy cover, but also the loss of the large trees that are that are basically the keystone of fire resilience on our landscape. And so when you're removing thousands of fire-resistant trees and reducing the canopy cover down to 40%, you're going to get this ingrowth of shrubs and materials in the understory. And then you're going to get higher ambient temperatures in the summertime, and you're going to get increased infiltration into those stands by wind. So the three of those things combined in a wildfire event have the potential to create high severity effects in stands that currently support fire-resistant trees and fire-resilient stand conditions.
BLM does have the mandate under the ONC Act to produce some timber to help fund fund counties. I mean, can they do it? I mean, do you think they can do that and still be as attuned as you want them to be with the environmental concerns?
You know, the reality is that the BLM does have a timber mandate, but they also have discretion as to where they can implement their timber sales. They can exclude areas for purposes of wildlife and for a variety of different reasons. The units that they choose to log, it's not a necessity that they log them now. They could defer that for future. They could decide that these stands are currently in an acceptable condition and could be maintained on the landscape. The community alternative has been – one of the things the community alternative does is it – the BLM has admitted that it meets the purpose and need of the of the project. So the community alternative does propose 536 acres of commercial logging and would produce a sustainable amount of timber for the industry at the same time, at the same time reducing fuels and restoring forest habitats and protecting some of our intact habitats as well.
So what is the status of the comment period, and what are you suggesting that people do during that comment period?
Well, the folks at Applegate Neighborhood Network and the Community Alternative Working Group would really like to see people comment and support the community alternative. And if they have concerns about the BLM alternatives, we'd like to see them voice that as well. The comment period ends on August 1st. So, you know, we really encourage folks to take the time to write a letter and comment on this project, because it's really important for the future of the Applegate Valley and the fire safety of our communities.
So based on what we heard from the BLM, Rudy, this could turn into an environmental impact statement kind of project, or could stick with the environmental assessment?
There is potential for that. We believe that there is enough environmental impacts to necessitate an environmental impact statement.
Okay. You guys have done a lot of work on this. Comment period, again, August 1st is when it closes?
Exactly.
Okay. We're talking about the Ned's Bar Forest Management Project in the Medford District of the BLM, Ashland Resource Area. Luke Rudiger is part of the Community Alternative Working Group, which did just what its name implies, came up with an alternative to what the BLM had laid out there as well. BLM did include it in the documents. I want to thank Luke Rudiger for joining us, and thank Christy Mastrofini from the BLM for joining us earlier. So good to have you here on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.